evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington. A little bit under the weather tonight, but I think we can make it through a whole show together. I'm going to be inviting you to call in later, but in the meantime, a few comments about a few things in the news and maybe things that should be in the news. It is Tuesday, May 15th. This is the 15th day of American Jewish Heritage Month, as proclaimed very loudly and proudly by President George W. Bush. And in keeping with our celebration of Jewish Heritage Month, I'm going to be bringing you some very interesting information about a major corporate shakeup that's going on, which can be considered a very great triumph for the American Jewish community and its Zionist elements in particular. We'll talk a little bit about that after the break. This is a major story that's in the news, and I'm willing to bet you that you're not aware of the Zionist connection. I'm going to tell you what the Zionist connection is. That's after the break. In the meantime, folks, there's been something that's rattling around for some time that we really have got to address it here. And I think that is the final solution, no pun intended, the final solution to the Huffschmidt conundrum. You know, it's funny, folks, sometimes things are right before you. The evidence is right before your very eyes, and you don't miss it. Sometimes, you know, you don't see the forest for the trees. Sometimes you're so involved in something that you just don't see things when they're right in front of you. Well, thanks to none other than James Condit Jr., and I think you're familiar with his very good website, thetruth247.com. Thanks to Jim Condit Jr. and some comments he made several weeks ago while appearing on the Huffschmidt-Smith-Boleyn broadcast, I think Jim inadvertently, of course, but very definitively, put his finger on the solution to the Huffschmidt conundrum. That is this, folks. This is very, very interesting. When Mr. Condit appeared on this program with Mr. Huffschmidt, who says that everybody in the world is a Zionist except him and Christopher Boleyn and Daryl Bradford Smith, Mr. Condit pointed out, quite bravely I might add, that Eric Huffschmidt's film and video on 9-1-1 said absolutely nothing, repeat nothing, about the Zionist connection. Now, this came as a bit of a shock to Daryl Bradford Smith, when someone on his own program dared to defy him and point out, frankly, that Eric's famous film and video didn't mention Zionism. And yet, of course, since that video has come out, Eric has been ranting and raving and attacking everybody, even known anti-Zionists, and accusing them of being Zionists. Well, Daryl Bradford Smith's answer to Mr. Condit was very revealing. He said, well, the reason why there was no evidence of Zionist involvement presented in Eric Huffschmidt's film and in his book is because no evidence had come out at that time. All right, folks, here's where we got them. In a previous interview on the Huffschmidt-Smith-Boleyn program, Christopher Boleyn talked openly, publicly, about how he had worked very closely with Eric Huffschmidt prior to the time that the book and the video were released. Isn't it interesting, folks, that Christopher himself, along with all the other good people at American Free Press, were writing about the Zionist connection to 9-1-1 almost immediately after it happened? And yet, Christopher tells us that he was working with Eric Huffschmidt on the book. And yet, the book says absolutely nothing about the Zionist connection to 9-1-1. We're going to get into this a little deeper when we come back, folks. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them,
You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Hey America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, California, or Utah, we can help you with financing the purchase of a new home or refinancing your existing mortgage. We now have a wide array of lenders for your purchase or refinancing needs. If you are looking for a cash-out refinance from an adjustable to a fixed-rate loan, paying down credit card debt, consolidating installment or other debt, or been wanting to invest in the safe haven of gold and the silver market but you've been sitting on the fence waiting for the right time, whatever your reason, give RBN a call and ask to talk to our mortgage professional. He can help you find a plan that fits your needs while he walks you through the process very simply and easily. You couldn't choose a better time to pay down debt or purchase gold and silver. And not only do you accomplish your goal, but you also help to support RBN in continuing to voice the truth. Don't wait any longer. Call us now at 1-800-724-2719. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719.
Gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins, Piper here, coming to you from Washington on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Before we went to the break, I was talking a little bit about some new revelations in the Huffschmidt conundrum. Huffschmidt, of course, being the brother-in-law of James Murdoch, son of billionaire media tycoon Rupert Murdoch. That's another story in and of itself. But needless to say, folks, as I pointed out here, in a recent interview with Huffschmidt and Smith, James Condit Jr. of Cincinnati, very outspoken political activist of long standing, dared to point out that Eric Huffschmidt's video and film had absolutely nothing to do with the Zionist connection, and Daryl Bradford Smith jumped in very quickly saying that back in 2001, there was no evidence of that. There was nothing that had come out. There were no suspicions of it. Folks, we got them. Because the fact is, as I told you, Christopher Boleyn, who was then a loyal employee of American Free Press and apparently loyal to the patriotic cause, was in fact digging into all sorts of aspects of Israeli involvement in 9-1-1. And at this time, by Christopher's own admission, on the air, he was already in contact with Eric Huffschmidt and discussing these things with Eric prior to the publication of Eric's book. And in fact, I can tell you firsthand, folks, that I recall when in a pre-publication blueprint, a blue line of Eric Huffschmidt's book came into the American Free Press office. It was brought there, I believe, by Christopher Boleyn. And he and Christopher even showed it to Willis A. Cardo, one of my associates in American Free Press. I saw the book, but did not look at it. So the point is this, that before Huffschmidt's book came out, he was already tuned into the fact that there were very deep allegations and suspicions regarding Israeli involvement in 9-1-1, but he did not put them in his book, nor did he put them in his video. And yet both this book and this video were widely touted, got widespread publicity, and it opened up many people's eyes to the fact that there were lies surrounding 9-1-1. But, folks, that's what's known as a limited hangout. And now, since that time, Huffschmidt, of course, is attacking everybody else as being Zionist agents, and unfortunately there are enough people out there who believe his lies. But if we look at the fact that he evidently chose early on, back in 2001, right after the 9-1-1 terrorist tragedy, to avoid mentioning Zionism in a book and a video which became famous worldwide and which were widely distributed by millionaire Jimmy Walter all over the world, we see that Huffschmidt, in fact, from the beginning, covered up the Zionist connection. And, folks, I can tell you that not only do I recall Berlin talking about it in an interview on the Huffschmidt-Smith program, but I also have an email, which I just discovered the other day, from Christopher Berlin, in which he talks very freely and very clearly and very specifically about the fact that he was in touch with Eric Huffschmidt even before Eric's works were distributed. And in case anybody has any doubts about the fact that American Free Press was right on top of things from the very beginning, I'm looking here in a September 24th, 2001 issue of American Free Press, which actually went to press several days after 9-1-1. American Free Press reported the story that back in 1993, the Liberal Village Voice had reported there was evidence suggesting the Mossad had foreknowledge or was involved in the first World Trade Center bombing. That was in American Free Press within a week of the 9-1-1 tragedy. On October 1st, again, that issue actually went to press maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks after 9-1-1. AFP carried the story of the FBI arrest of three groups of Israeli Jews, ostensibly employees of several moving companies in the New York area, suspected by the FBI of working for the Mossad. They were seen acting suspiciously and videotaping the World Trade Center disaster. October 1st, 2001. October 1st, American Free Press also reported that on September 10th, that the Washington Times had said that high-ranking U.S. Army officers believed the Mossad had the capacity to target U.S. forces and make it look like a Palestinian-Arab act. October 1st, same issue. American Free Press noted that British journalist Patrick Seale had charged long ago that Abu Nidal, the famous Arab terrorist, was actually a surrogate for Israel's Mossad. The list goes on and on and on. Eric Huffschmidt avoided mentioning the Israeli connection to 9-1-1 in his book and in his video. Why, folks? We know now, we know for a fact that Eric Huffschmidt was already in communication with Christopher Berlin, who was already at that point still loyal to AFP and AFP's anti-Zionist stance. Christopher was digging into some of these stories, along with other people on the staff, including myself. And yet, Huffschmidt did not put these things in his video. He did not put them in his book. Think about it, folks. And now, he is relentlessly and ruthlessly attacking many, many people, saying they're Zionist agents because they fail to mention 9-1-1, or because they fail to mention the Zionist role in 9-1-1. Many of these people that he's attacking probably have no concept of the possibility of Zionist involvement in 9-1-1. Many people are not tuned into the issue of Zionism and Zionist power in America and in the world like the listeners of RBN. And so some of these people are probably innocent. Some of these people are probably putting this information out there without having really done their research. And yet we know for a fact that Eric Huffschmidt was in contact with the folks at American Free Press. Even Willis A. Cardo, who's been called one of the world's leading anti-Semites by the Anti-Defamation League, Willis Cardo had reviewed portions of Huffschmidt's work. I don't know what Willis's recommendations were, and frankly, I don't know what recommendations Boleyn made. But again, I repeat, we know now that Huffschmidt and Smith obviously are now denying. They're 9-1-1 Zionism deniers, because they denied early on that there was evidence of this. Well, folks, that whole intrigue is breaking up real fast. One of Huffschmidt's leading supporters for over a year now, who's been constantly writing me, now has come to the recognition that there is much more to the Huffschmidt conundrum, and I've been advised that Huffschmidt was posed with a number of provocative and pertinent questions about his connections, his behind-the-scenes connections, to James Murdoch, who apparently is the heir to the Murdoch empire. And, of course, Huffschmidt has written on his website that Murdoch was probably one of the good guys who was trying to do an end run on the Rothschilds. Well, folks, there's nothing that could be further from the truth. Back in the 1980s, I was writing about Rupert Murdoch in the spotlight and calling him part of the billionaire gang of four, along with the Bronfmans, the Rothschilds, and the Oppenheimers. He was a creation of these people, folks. They set him up. He's been their biggest propagandist. And yet Huffschmidt says, well, it may be that Murdoch was one of the good guys. Folks, we are up against one of the biggest disinformation campaigns I've ever seen. This DiGuello gang, their attacks on David Irving, their attacks on Eustace Mullins, attacks on 911 hero William Rodriguez, attacks on Dr. Stephen Jones, the list goes on and on and on. But the big question is, why did Eric Huffschmidt refuse, when he had the opportunity, to write about the Zionist connection in his book and in his video? Folks, consider that, folks. I was writing about the Zionist connection to 911 as soon as it happened. And so, for that matter, was Christopher Boleyn. So was American Free Press. And yet, we didn't have a millionaire promoting our work. We didn't have someone coming in buying millions of copies or thousands of copies of our books, thousands of copies of our videos. But Eric Huffschmidt did. He had the opportunity to get the word out about the Zionist connection to 911 at the very beginning, and he did not. My question is, why, Eric, did you not? We know that you knew about it. We know that you were in touch with American Free Press and Christopher Boleyn. We know that you were aware of the Zionist connection, and you're not talking about it, Eric, not at least in your book and in your video. Very interesting, folks. I think that tells us everything we need to know. And as I say, the irony of it, folks, it's been before our very eyes the whole time. It's been before my eyes. It's been before the eyes of all the listeners who were tuned into all the details here. And yet, folks, I can kick myself just like I did when I wrote the fifth edition of Final Judgment. I didn't know that even Jim Garrison, the district attorney of New Orleans, had suspected that the Mossad was behind the Kennedy assassination. I only found that out after the fourth edition of my book. So that's why in the fifth edition, I guess maybe the fourth or fifth edition of the book, I had an apology to the readers, but I had already written about the Mossad connection to the JFK assassination. Folks, again, sometimes the truth does come out in the wash. And I think the truth has come out quite inadvertently as a consequence of Jim Condit's very brave decision to publicly air the fact on the Huffschmidt-Boleyn program, Huffschmidt-Boleyn-Smith program, that Eric did not mention anything about the Zionist connection. Very, very interesting, folks. Okay, well, that's something that I should have talked about weeks ago, folks. But finally, you know, sometimes day-to-day events push things like that aside. That's what you call an evergreen, folks, but it's something that needed to be brought out. Now, we're going to the break. When we come back, we are going to celebrate American Jewish Heritage Week, or Heritage Month, forgive me, not just a week. We celebrate a whole month here in this country, folks. Stay tuned.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. Check out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from would-be attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. Containing microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. The electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us, personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or law.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins, Piper here with you. Now we will do our daily celebration of American Jewish Heritage Month as proclaimed by our president, our beloved president, George W. Bush. We like to do what President Bush likes us to do. Folks, the big news in the financial world is the apparent impending sale. Maybe it's happened in the last 12 hours or so, but the apparent impending sale of Chrysler, the venerable American automobile manufacturer, to what the New York Times described on May 14th in a right-hand column headline as a private firm. It's described as a car industry watershed. The unions are worried about the deal because it looks like the American workers and others, maybe even overseas, knowing our automobile industry, that the workers might get screwed. Well, there have been a lot of stories in the New York Times and all the papers, folks, if you look at them, in the business section, and like I say here in the front page of the New York Times, but the story of the company that's buying, the story of the company that's going to buy Chrysler is the story, and that's very, very interesting. Everybody's heard the name of it, folks. It's called Cerberus. And I hope I'm pronouncing it right. I'm not very literary. I guess that's a literary allusion. It's spelled C-E-R-B-E-R-U-S. Professor Kevin Boyle says that the sale of Chrysler to Cerberus will shake the ground under people's feet in a huge way. Well, who are the people behind Cerberus, folks? We read the former Treasury Secretary Jon Snow is a big figure in Cerberus. And I can also tell you, folks, although this has been mentioned just in passing, buried in a story, that former Vice President Dan Quayle is connected to Cerberus. The full title of it is Cerberus Global Investments. Mr. Quayle, he is the front man at Cerberus. He's chairman of the board. And guess who has investments in Cerberus? No less than former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. Now, bear in mind that Donald Rumsfeld had these investments in Cerberus at the time he was Defense Secretary. Okay, so we have Jon Snow, we have Rumsfeld, we have Quayle, all very highly regarded conservative Republicans. But I'm here to tell you, folks, the real power behind Cerberus, the chief executive officer, a gentleman by the name of Steven Feinberg. Steven is spelled with a P-H. Feinberg is spelled F-E-I-N-B-E-R-G. Haaretz magazine, Haaretz newspaper out of Israel some months ago, 6 or 8 months ago, described him as a New York Jew with a golden touch. Their words, not mine. They described him as a shy wunderkind who makes himself scarce around photographers and sends underlings like Cerberus chair Dan Quayle to sign his deals. In some parlance, he might be called, that is, Dan Quayle might be called a Shabbos Goy. Now, what's very, very interesting is that yet another player in Cerberus is Michael Steinhardt. Now, he's an avowed atheist, folks, according to Avenue Magazine, but he's also has been described as one of America's biggest supporters of Jewish and Israeli causes, and he is a financial backer of such influential American Jewish journals as The Forward and The New York Sun, which is a neoconservative daily. And in case you have any doubts at this point about the Zionist and Israeli connections of the Cerberus Corporation, you might just note this, that Cerberus, some months ago, purchased a controlling interest in Bank Leumi, which is the second largest bank in Israel. The purchase of that controlling interest, according to Haaretz, some months ago, would go toward paying off Israel's high national debt. This is interesting, of course, as I have commented before on this, that Rumsfeld has helped run up the U.S. national debt with this war against Iraq. And yet, of course, his friends at Cerberus are now paying off Israel's debt. And, of course, what's even more interesting is that this company that Rumsfeld has investments in has actually set up military base camps in Iraq. In other words, this company, this company, which is controlled by some major American Zionists, has profited from the U.S. war in Iraq, even as one of their investors, Donald Rumsfeld, was serving as the U.S. Defense Secretary. Now, this is interesting. Business Week on October 3rd, 2005, described Cerberus as being bigger than even such well-known business giants as McDonald's, 3M, Coca-Cola, and Cisco Systems. Cerberus controls some 226 Burger King restaurants, the National and Alamo car rental chains, the Formica Corporation, and the old Warner Hollywood Studios. The old Warner Studios have been in the hands of the Zionist crime syndicate on and off for years. So I'm not surprised to find that connection, particularly when you find that Michael Steinhardt, who I mentioned earlier, came from an organized crime family. Now, it seems to me, folks, that there should have been a conflict of interest for Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld having a share in a company that was making a profit off the war in Iraq. But as I say, I think the bigger picture here, folks, is that what we have now is another major Zionist corporation coming in and grabbing control of a venerable American firm, and they're getting ready to screw the workers. I'd like to see the unions rebel, folks, and block these Zionists. That's our celebration of American Jewish Heritage Month. Not much to celebrate, is it, folks? Stay tuned for more.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, California, or Utah, we can help you with financing the purchase of a new home or refinancing your existing mortgage. We now have a wide array of lenders for your purchase or refinancing needs. If you are looking for a cash-out refinance from an adjustable to a fixed-rate loan, paying down credit card debt, consolidating installment or other debt, or been wanting to invest in the safe haven of gold in the silver market but you've been sitting on the fence waiting for the right time, whatever your reason, give RBN a call and ask to talk to our mortgage professional. He can help you find a plan that fits your needs while he walks you through the process very simply and easily. You couldn't choose a better time to pay down debt or purchase gold and silver. And not only do you accomplish your goal, but you also help to support RBN in continuing to voice the truth. Don't wait any longer. Call us now at 1-800-724-2719. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. Talking before the break about Cerberus and the connection of Michael Steinhardt, powerful Zionist from an organized crime family originally, now gone quite legitimate in his own ventures, apparently. Very interesting. I just did a Google search of the Google News, and I could not find a single reference in Google News to Steinhardt and his connection with Cerberus in the news. All these news stories about Cerberus, but they don't mention the Steinhardt connection there, folks. This is how the press does it, folks. They cover up the Zionist connection, just like Eric Hufschmidt covered up the Zionist connection to 911, even though he had early information about it. Well, just got the word, folks, that Reverend Jerry Falwell, one of the biggest Zionist agitators on the face of the planet, a man who has done more to poison popular discourse about the Middle East and probably about a lot of other issues, too, when it comes right down to it, Jerry Falwell has died and gone to hell. Over the years, I had colleagues who would say, oh, well, Jerry Falwell might be bad on the Zionist issue, but he's so good on so many other issues. Folks, when you have an issue that cuts right to the core of American freedom, that cuts right to the core of American survival, that cuts right to the core of the hearts and minds and souls of millions of good Americans who were corralled by Jerry Falwell, who got free reign in the Zionist-controlled media in America, free publicity, widespread promotion, whereas other good anti-Zionist Christian leaders, such as Reverend Ted Pike, Bill Crowley Jr., Stan Rittenhouse, the list goes on and on. These people were all ignored by the mass media, but Jerry Falwell, his Zionist handlers, promoted him extensively and eagerly, and we know why they did. So Jerry Falwell was more than a nuisance, folks. He was more than an annoying nuisance. He was a poison in our political system, not just the American political system, the world political system. While Christian Arabs, folks, I know a lot of you out there don't like Muslims, folks, but while Christian Palestinians and Christian Arabs were being stomped under the Israeli heel, Jerry Falwell's preaching love for Israel and for the Jewish people in their modern-day state, which, of course, serious Christian scholars, biblical authorities, and archaeologists really say should not be in the hands of the Zionist movement. But Jerry Falwell was siding with these people who were murdering and maiming and destroying the lives, the well-being of his fellow Christians. I'm sorry, I cannot find any good things to say about Jerry Falwell, folks. He has died and gone to hell. He is burning in hell. Good riddance, Jerry Falwell. Well, that same issue of the New York Times, dated May 14th, talking about the Cerberus Company, had a very bizarre picture covering four full columns. Big picture, folks, about, oh boy, 6x9, gigantic color photograph of a dead body, the body of Mullah Dadullah, thought to be the Taliban's top operational commander. It was shown yesterday, they say, in Kandahar. Well, of course, you know, we don't like terrorists, folks. Our president tells us we do not like terrorists, and certainly we don't like anybody from the Taliban. But, you know, the New York Times, all the news that's fit to print, publish a picture of a dead body. I mean, this is enough to terrify little children. I mean, it's enough to make you sick. I was reading the paper over lunch and was appalled to see this picture of this big, hairy, dead Taliban leader. Imagine, folks, can you imagine? Now, we know, for example, that the Jewish Defense League, the terrorist group that attacked Paul Fromm and many, many other people, it's killed people. It's injured people. Paul fortunately survived any injuries. But this terrorist group has been backed by some of the most distinguished American Jewish businessmen and certainly been backed covertly by the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. So as I say, anyone who supports the Anti-Defamation League or any of these prominent American Jewish groups that covertly support the Jewish Defense League, they are supporting terrorism, and by extension, therefore, they are terrorist funders. They are terrorists as well. So with that context in mind, can you imagine if some angry anti-terrorist Americans, inspired by President Bush's war against terrorism, decided to take out Edgar Bronfman or Rupert Murdoch or Abe Foxman or S.I. Newhouse, one of these Zionist billionaires who financed the Anti-Defamation League, which has provided tactical support behind the scenes for the Jewish Defense League? Can you imagine if one of these top Zionists was taken out by anti-terrorist Americans or people from around the world who hate terrorism? Can you imagine that the New York Times would put their body on display on the front page of the New York Times? It would never happen, folks. But again, the New York Times, with its Talmudic mindset, its bloody, hate-filled, terroristic mindset, supportive of Israel, would put a picture of a dead body, not just a small picture, a large picture of this dead body on the front page. Folks, when the good people in the military finally do what they need to do and take command of this country and restore our Republican form of government and kick out our Zionist controllers and grab control of the media. I hope the first thing they do will be to dynamite the headquarters of the New York Times. That publication needs to be thoroughly, totally destroyed. The absolute memory of the New York Times needs to be wiped from our institutional memory, folks. New York Times has played a major part in destroying this country. They haven't destroyed us completely yet. They played a major part in getting us involved in needless wars that should not be fought. They will pay a mighty price someday, folks. All right. Well, I've been talking quite a bit here, and we have two very patient callers who I'm going to squeeze in here. Roy from Texas. Roy, you've been very patient. You've been on the line for a while. Come on up.
Thanks, Mike. First off, let me wish you a very happy Jewish History Month.
Okay. I thank you.
And I just wanted to make a suggestion here, which is you might want to make a list of the people who have people in government and mainstream figures who have said that the war in Iraq was being fought for Israel. I have a brief list here that I could
go
through with you.
Go ahead. Fire away with it. I'd love to hear it.
Sure. One is Major General Anthony Zinni. Anthony Zinni has said that the war in Iraq was fought for Israel. Another, Lieutenant General William Odom, spoke before Congress, and he said that a war that was being fought for the security of Israel wound up making Israel less secure.
Mm-hmm.
The head of the 9/11 Commission, Philip Zelikow, also on record, saying that the main cause of the war in Iraq was for Israel's benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm not a big fan of the New York Times, but there was a writer for the New York Times, I think his name was James Bamford.
Right, okay, right, James Bamford. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he wrote a book, and in that book, on the origins of the Iraq War, he says that the prime mover, this was his expression, the prime mover for the war in Iraq was the security of the state of Israel. So, also, I think there's an honorable mention here to General Wesley Clark. This doesn't relate to Israel, but he was talking about the possibility of a war with Iran.
That's right.
And
mm-hmm.
he didn't mention Israel, but he said that this was being fought or being done for the benefit of what he called the New York money people.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. I'll give you another one, Roy. That's a great list, Roy. I appreciate that. That's a great call. Another one is author Craig Unger, writing in Vanity Fair, which is published no less by the aforementioned Sam Newhouse, in an article in Vanity Fair, I believe it was back in December, possibly, he said flat out in the course of a much longer article that the security of Israel was, in fact, one of the driving factors behind the U.S. involvement in Iraq. So here, and don't forget Senator Ernest Hollings in his days prior to his retirement. After he had announced his retirement from the Senate, he was still serving in the Senate, he gave an interview to a Charleston newspaper in which he specifically said that it was all about Israel. So, the thing about it is, you could probably compile a list probably even longer than that, but I think it's very significant. It's probably also worth mentioning that former Secretary of State Colin Powell's longtime associate, Lawrence Wilkerson, who served at served as Secretary of State Powell's administrative assistant or chief of staff at the State Department, he has also basically said the same thing in one form or another. He's even hinted at the possibility of the impeachment of President Bush and Vice President Cheney. So no question about it, Roy, there are so many people of real substance who can't be called right-wing extremists or hate mongers or conspiracy theorists who have all dared to say this.
Well, there's also, if you want to go a little bit further back, this doesn't relate to the war in Iraq. There was an article in Haaretz magazine or a newspaper, it's an Israeli paper,
right,
that talked about the 1967 Senate Foreign Relations Committee hearings. And I think it was Senator William Fulbright said that he didn't say Zionists. At this time, I think he used the word Jews. He said they owned the Senate.
That's right.
They owned the Senate, and they had a closed hearing, which was just the transcript of which was released only recently, in which they said this is a major problem as far as U.S. foreign policy, is that It's kind of funny because there seems to be a debate that there is no Israel. There's a position some people take. There's no such thing as an Israel lobby in the United States. And these are U.S. senators. These aren't conspiracy theorists. They're not crackpots. If there's anything they know, it's who wields political power in this country. And these are U.S. senators saying that Jews think they own the Senate. I mean, I don't know. It just...
Well, you know, Roy, a couple months ago, I told a story on this program, a story that was told to me by someone who had spoken with former Senator Paul Simon. Now, Paul Simon was elected with heavy-handed support from the Israeli lobby to defeat Senator Charles Percy, Republican of Illinois, for re-election. And the reason why the Israeli lobby wanted to go after Charles Percy was because he was saying nicey-nice about the Palestinians. And, of course, the Israelis and their supporters here in the United States went after him. Well, Senator Simon told this person who told me that the reason why he decided to quit the United States Senate was precisely because of the fact that having been elected with the support of the Israeli lobby, he found that every time he turned around, there were people from the Israeli lobby knocking on his door, demanding that he sign this petition or that petition, things that he didn't necessarily disagree with, but it was such heavy-handed and such aggressive, demanding attitudes on their part that it was beginning to annoy him. And then it reached the point that they were demanding that he sign things that he vehemently disagreed with. And he said, I'm getting the hell out of here. I'm paraphrasing, of course. I'm not saying that's a direct quote. But, I mean, this is from Senator Paul Simon, who was elected with the support of the Israeli lobby. So you know, this is something that that needs to be talked about. And, of course, as you point out, there are people who are saying there's no such thing as the Israeli lobby. I mean, there are actually people who are saying that. And it always amazes me at what we call the chutzpah of these people to say that.
Yeah, it surprises me. And, I mean, these are mainstream figures. These are people who would try to avoid the label of anti-Semitism at all costs. But they dare say that these things are being done for Israel's benefit.
Well, you know, I'm always reminded of what David Irving, the British historian, said. One time a newspaper, he was under fire from the Zionist lobby and from Jewish interests in the media and Jewish organizations, and some reporter who thought he was putting David Irving on the spot said to David, Mr. Irving, are you an anti-Semite? And David said something to the effect of, well, if I'm not now, I probably will soon be. And I think this is the problem. You know, Willis Cardo was on my show a couple weeks ago, or actually I should say he was on he was on my show, but he was also on Mark Dankoff's program here on RBN, and Willis told on that program something that he had told me many, many times over the years, that his mother, long since deceased, had told him years ago that the Jews always push too far. And I think that's what's happening here in the United States today. I think the military is fed up with these demands that they go off and fight these wars for the survival of Israel. More and more Americans are now beginning to see, I think, what's happening. And, you know, with the with what's happening with the National Guard, you know, our National Guard people are being taxed, overtaxed. They're being sent back for second and third trips to Iraq. And the military is now cracking down on permitting members of the military to post on these internet chat groups and so forth. And evidently, what my belief is that they say that it's for security reasons. I think what it is, they just don't want the soldiers who are in the field to start expressing their points of view about what's really happening in Iraq and why we shouldn't be there and why they want to come home to protect our borders, which is what our American military is supposed to be doing.
That's true.
Okay, well, Roy, I appreciate your call. Very interesting. I'm glad you called in tonight.
Thanks, Michael.
All right. Thanks for that call. Very interesting, folks. Okay, we're going to be able to squeeze in one more caller here. We're going to be going to a break, but I'm going to go ahead and bring our caller from New York up. It is Mike. Mike, come on up.
Mike, how you doing? Cerberus, according to Wikipedia, Cerberus was the hound of Hades, a monstrous three-headed dog with a snake for a tail. That just about says it all.
You know, it does. That's very, very interesting.
Yeah. Cerberus guarded the gates of Hades and ensured that the spirits of the dead could enter, but none could exit. I mean, why would you pick a name like that unless you were a complete psychopath?
Oh, I agree with you.
That just about says it all. I mean, another icon of American industry, Chrysler, is being devoured by the hounds of hell.
You know, and you know what's interesting about it, Mike, is the fact that these I don't think I'm no economist. I don't know a lot about anything about finance. That's why I'm poor.
Well,
that's why I'm a writer. But
But
this company is a private equity firm, and my understanding is that these private equity firms basically hold the money for other people, so you really have to cut through many, many layers
to find out
who actually controls this company.
What they basically do... Okay,
yeah, Mike, hang on for the break.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to our final 5 minutes. We've got Mike from New York talking about the hounds of hell who are gobbling up American industry. Stay tuned.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. We got another Mike on with us, Mike from New York. Mike, it occurred to me over the break that that three-headed hound from hell, I think I know what those three heads are represented by Cerberus. We've got capitalism, we've got communism, and we've got Zionism. That's a three-headed hound of hell if I've ever heard of one.
That sounds very appropriate. Now, to get back to this private...
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, to get back to the private equity business, you know, having spent some time on Wall Street, it appears to me that the basic sort of modus operandi is to take over a company with debt, strip the valuable assets, repackage the garbage, which is sold back at a massive premium to, you know, pension funds and God knows who else who's gullible enough.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's it in a nutshell. Now, wasn't Chrysler bailed out by the taxpayer back in the 80s?
That was
Iacocca.
Lee Iacocca, that's right, exactly. I'd totally forgotten about that.
Now,
that's right.
This seems to, yeah, pardon me for being paranoid, but this seems to be, there seems to be a pattern here that the taxpayer picks up the bill, and then the hounds of, you know, and this is the same as the utilities and the toll roads, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Then the vultures move in and make a killing.
Well, that's exactly what's happening.
And the American worker gets royally screwed.
Yeah, and it's been pointed out very freely in the press that the unions are concerned about this.
Well, the unions are infiltrated lock, stock, and barrel.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
I mean, the unions are a paper tiger, if I ever saw one. You know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I mean, it's... you know, these kind of things, they put them on the front page, and yet the real facts, the real details, you know, kind of get lost in the wash, you know? And it's the same way with the Enron scandal. All those Texas Cowboys got in trouble. They were the ones who made the headlines, with the exception of Andrew Fastow and his wife.
Correct.
When in fact, behind the scenes, it was the Belfer family of New York, a Holocaust survivor
absolutely.
And his children.
Absolutely, and I, you know, as you mentioned, it's very interesting that this outfit also owns the Bank Leumi of Israel.
Yeah, exactly.
So you won't be able to follow any paper trail.
You know, I mean, this is what happened. You know, we had reporters for the Spotlight who said very affirmatively that the savings and loan scandals of the 80s, what was happening there was that those savings and loans were being looted. And the funds were being transferred to offshore corporations that were, get this, helping fund Israel's nuclear weapons program.
Mm, and helping fund Neil Bush's lavish lifestyle.
Well, exactly. That's right. I mean, they, you know, they let a few of the Shabbos goy in on the action.
Yeah.
To cover themselves. And, of course, you know, Neil Bush, as you say, made the headlines. But behind the scenes, there were other people that... we're getting away with, literally with rape.
But, I mean, the very sad thing is the way the American industry is being stripped naked and, you know, used like a, you know, well, I can't really say it on the radio, but,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, used, abused, and thrown away like a dirt rag.
Well, that's been the pattern. That's been
and,
the pattern. Even with the politicians who do the bidding of the Zionist lobby, they throw them over when they're done with them.
Great talking to you, Mike.
All right, Mike, thanks for your call.
Thanks, bye.
Very good callers here tonight, folks, with lots of good information. You know, when you put it all together, you can see what's really going on. Have a good evening, folks. Michael Collins, Piper, signing off.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside